Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 36th episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast. My name is Drew Ogryzik. Normally, you'd hear James say something as well, but he's not here today. He's actually on vacation, and we had scheduled in a guest co-host, but our co-host was unable to make it today, and this is the nature of podcasts, so we must go on. Anyway, there's not a whole lot to talk about. I didn't go to much this week. I don't know if anybody out there is an avid gamer or plays World of Warcraft, but there was some pretty interesting news there as patch 7.0 dropped and a lot of changes to talents and things like that. So I kind of spent a little bit of the extra time aside from startup life on checking out some of the new class changes. Anyway, we're just going to hop into meetups around town. So last week I didn't get out to much, but there was a lot that was happening and I wanted to go out to some stuff, but didn't make it. This week we've got a pretty interesting week lined up. Monday is a huge day. We've got so much coming up on Monday. So the first thing we start out with is our Git and Zero Tech. This is going to be over at Decentral. If you're not sure where that is, that's over on Pender. It's 436 West Pender. Check out the site below. And there's a little black door to the left of, I think it's called Bangtown Hair Salon. You got to go down in there. If you have any troubles, just reach out to one of the meetups organizers or the meetups organizer, Adam. It should be on the page. Make sure to bring your laptop if you got one and be ready to talk about Git and talk about Zero Tech. If you're not sure what Git is, then this would be a good place to go and talk to people and find out and get used to it. If you're used to some different versioning system, for example, or if you're an expert with Git, you'd be able to talk to some like-minded people as well. Then the Zero Tech component is kind of slimming things down in the design process, I believe. So if you're looking at, you know, building something out or doing an MVP, try to bring in technology or different tech in your stack, frameworks, whatever, as the last step and kind of a last resort. But anyway, make sure to check that out. That's from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday. And then we've got BrainStation Vancouver from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So it looks like they're having pretty regular Monday workshops. And this is a workshop. It's a $15 workshop. This is Intro to Photoshop. If you're interested in learning Photoshop, I know for me, I do mostly backend, actually exclusively backend development at the moment. And I'm kind of interested in maybe doing some front-end stuff, maybe doing some personal projects, and also being able to create the assets for that would be pretty interesting. But I'm not too familiar with Photoshop. I mean, I've dabbled around with it a little bit years ago, but I kind of forget. So this might be something fun to go to. This is from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And it says, please note, you must RSVP and purchase your ticket. Also, I'm guessing a laptop with Photoshop already installed, version CS6 Plus recommended. So I'm imagining that the online version is probably fine as well. I think that's all that's that Adobe's supporting at the moment, but I'd have to check that out. All right, then we have the Vancouver Closure. So this is interesting and kind of special for them. This is on a Monday, and this is their social. So this is going to be over at, also at Decentral, 436 West Pender from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. As this is more of a social, I don't think that you'd need to, I don't think you'd really need to bring your laptop. So you could probably just come and go as you wish, but it is going to be happening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Decentral. So make sure to check that out. If you're interested in what happens at the Closure Hack Night, then this might be interesting to meet some of the people who are maybe involved. Then we have Women in Games over at Lighthouse Labs. They have a meetup from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. This is also on Monday. So this is the number 300, 128 West Hastings. And it says here, that's kind of interesting. Development date night. Join Women in Games at Lighthouse Labs for a night of showcasing creative works by females in the gaming and tech industries. Okay, so that seems pretty interesting. And it says the evening's festivities starting from 6 p.m., an introductory presentation showcasing the projects on display and their presenters. 6:20, an open floor of demos and presentation. Female artists, game developers, and portfolios will be available for demos, feedback, and sharing. And then projects being presented this evening, Iron Tides, a single-player adventure strategy game for the PC. Planet Robox, How Do Robots with OCD Explore the Universe? Sounds interesting. Love Shy, an Otome, reverse harem dating simulation based on personal experiences with social anxiety and the building of relationships. Wow. And The Low Road, set in the 1970s automobile world. Virtual reality game demo. Planets all over the galaxy are in need of culture, creature repopulation. Lumote. Lumote is a 3D puzzle platformer and art portfolio. Bonnie's portfolio was created through 3 years of hard work at Cap University's IDEA program. All right, make sure to check that out. So that's 6 p.m. over at Lighthouse Labs, development date night with Women in Games Vancouver. And Agile Vancouver, they have something happening over at Hootsuite, which is number 5 East 8th Avenue. And this starts at 6 p.m. This is the art of visualizing software architecture with Simon Brown. So that sounds pretty interesting. Looks like an event you wouldn't need to bring your laptop to. Sounds like it's going to be a talk that Simon Brown is giving. So Simon Brown's an independent software development consultant specializing in technical leadership, communication, and lightweight, pragmatic approaches to software architecture. And he's also the author of a couple of books. So check out the meetup, Agile Vancouver. This is Monday, July 25th at 6:30 p.m. over at Hootsuite. And another one coming up, so Vancouver ERP Consultants United. This is kind of interesting. They're meeting at the atrium in the Vancouver Public Library at 6:30 p.m. And this is just as kind of a get-together, something like a pre-meetup before going to the HackerNest Vancouver Tech Social, which is happening at 8 p.m. So that sounds fun if you're interested in getting together with some ERP consultants before HackerNest. And then we have, of course, my favorite meetup of the month, HackerNest Vancouver. So this is happening over at Rise. That's 1200 1055 West Hastings Street over in the Guinness building there from 8 p.m. till 10:30. So there is a little bit of a, I don't know, a kind of secret, I guess, that you either know or you don't know. A lot of people tend to show up to HackerNest at about 7:30, which is kind of interesting. So we're usually still setting up then. But if you do show up a little bit early, that tends to be kind of all right. Just make sure to be ready to roll up your sleeves and help out with setting up. And it sounds fun. We're looking forward to seeing you there. And it should be awesome. Rise is a great place. So again, another meetup you don't need to bring your laptop to. And that rounds out our Monday. Sounds like there's tons of things to do on Monday. So if you're looking for something to do, Monday is your day. Tuesday, we have Vancouver Closure. This is the Hack Night. This is over at CodeCore, 142 West Hastings. So if you went out on Monday to the Closure Social, you liked the people there and you thought you wanted to get together and hack on something with them, then this would be the meetup for you. And it's from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Make sure to bring your laptop to that. Then we have Tech Vancouver, also from 6 p.m. Now, this is a paid event. It's $12 per person. I haven't been to one, but James seems to not be able to speak highly enough about it. He says it's really great. And so over at Rise, 12th floor, 1055 West Hastings. I don't think you'd need to bring your laptop to this, as it seems to be more of a networking and presentations, kind of talks meetup. But also, I think there's food and drinks as well. So it's $12 before the event if you pre-purchase your tickets. Otherwise, it's $20 at the door. So RSVPing on the page on the meetup will not register you for the event. You've got to get your tickets. So it's kind of like a 5-minute TED style presentation. Seems pretty interesting. And this might be something I'll be able to make it out to this week. So it looks like there are 4 presentations. Should be a lot of fun. Then there's also Van Bug. So this is over at SFU 1500 515 West Hastings from 7 p.m. Vancouver BSD Users Group meetup. And right now they're working on studying for, I think, an associate certificate for BSD. So there's 4 different flavors of BSD that they're going through, and kind of the sysadmin stuff. And so that should be a lot of fun. Over at SFU 1500 515 West Hastings from 7 p.m. Make sure to bring a laptop. And I don't believe there's a internet connection in that room. So if you've got a good data connection, that would be helpful. And that rounds out our Tuesday. So then we have Wednesday coming up, Wednesday the 27th, and we're starting out at 4:30 p.m. with the Linux Desktop Meetup. And this is over at Decentral, 436 West Pender. So again, the little black door to the left of Bangtown Hair Salon as you're going in. You might need to knock on it or get hold of the organizer. But anyway, if you're running Linux, thinking about running Linux, want to talk Linux, any and all of the above, then make sure to check out the Linux Desktop Meetup. Then from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., we have the Pluralsight Study Group. This is over at PNI Digital, 400-425 Carroll Street on the first floor. I haven't been out to this either, but I'd definitely say bring your laptop, bring a Pluralsight login. And it looks kind of interesting. And I'm guessing this is organized by somebody. Sam Sullivan is a software development manager living and working in beautiful Vancouver, it says on his meetup page description. But I'm guessing this is somebody from PNI. digital media offices. But it might be fun. It looks like it's a to be disclosed or to be discussed maybe right now as far as what they're going to be going over. But it should be a lot of fun to study something with a group. Then from 6 p.m., the Cloud Foundry meetup, and it's a co-meetup with Docker Vancouver, DevOps Vancouver, and Vancouver Cloud Foundry. The topic is continuously delivering microservices with Docker and Cloud Foundry. If you are doing some sort of cloud and maybe the whole Mesosphere is a little too big or daunting for you, you might want to take a look at Cloud Foundry. It might be a good solution. And at the very least, this talk on Wednesday at 6 p.m. over at Hootsuite should be really fun. I wouldn't worry about bringing a laptop because it does seem to be much more of a talk. But it looks like there's three different main things that the talk's going to be. It says talk and hack night. So where we learn how to create some microservices via Docker and via the new Pivotal Cloud Foundry Dev, aka PCF Dev. Okay, so this is kind of interesting. I'm not sure if this is actually using your own implementation of Cloud Foundry or using Pivotal IO. The three things that it says it's going to be talking about: what are microservices good for? This is kind of interesting. I've heard a lot about people, you know, just kind of microservices is really a buzzword these days and kind of a trend people are kind of starting with. I think even going into that, for a long time anyway, we've heard, you know, monolith first. And I don't know if I think monoliths tend to get a bad rap these days. And everything's all about microservices. So this might be an interesting meetup, but I guess you really got to have the right problems to solve with microservices. And then two, Docker gives us a great way to build repeatable images processes, but leaves a lot of plumbing, image staging, load balancers, log aggregators, cluster state management, etc. So that sounds pretty interesting. And then number three is native Docker-based CI/CD with Concourse CI. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I actually just kind of glanced at Concourse and it looks pretty interesting, but I'm not sure what sort of problems this solves. Also, the second talk, talking a little bit about sort of differences using Docker with Swarm or Kubernetes or Cloud Foundry. So I think this would be pretty fun for me and try and make it out there. Even though I kind of wish more meetups were in the downtown core. Hootsuite is pretty close, but it's kind of like it's just on the edge there. It's pretty far for me. All right, anyway, Full Indie is also coming up at 6 p.m. So this is an awesome meetup as well. If you're into seeing what's been happening in the Vancouver Indies game scene, this is getting pretty big. They had some really awesome talks the last time I went there. I'm expecting them to have some pretty cool talks / presentations this time. There's also a lot of people showcasing their games. I got the sense that if you have been working on a game, an indie game, and you want to just kind of bring your laptop and show it off and have people play around with it, get some user feedback, this would definitely be the place to go. Grab a beer, grab a soft drink, grab some snacks, whatever, because Butcher and Bullock's pretty awesome. Anyway, this is great. This is at the Full Indie at the Butcher and Bullock, 911 West Pender at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. Then we've got another one, Vancouver Creative Technology Meetup. And this is over at the Center for Digital Media, 685 Great Northern Way, from 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. And this is called An Exploration of Web and VR Technology. This sounds like a lot of fun. I'm not sure exactly who this is geared toward, but I guess if you're interested in VR and interested in how it impacts web, then this might be a lot of fun. It says the schedule is 6:45 to 7:15, so the first half hour is just mingling in the lobby. Then from 7:15, there's a presentation, Lupin, a unique approach to creative coding online. Oh, that sounds pretty interesting. Creative coding online. I'm not sure what that refers to or if it has anything to do with pairing, but it sounds like it'd be all right. Then 8 o'clock, there's another presentation, The Web's Place in VR. This should be exciting. And then 8:45, another presentation, Making a Game in A-Frame.io. There's a 15-minute break. Then from 9:15 to 10, it's from 9:15 to 10, it looks like, HTC Vive, experiencing the latest in web VR. So I don't know if that's just going to be using the HTC Vive or if there's a presentation or what. And then from 10 o'clock, Connect and Mingle. So it looks like a pretty long meetup, but also looks like a lot of very interesting things to be covered as well. So this is over at the Center for Digital Media, 685 Great Northern Way, again from 7 to 10:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 27th. I wouldn't bring a laptop to that, but I don't think it would hurt too much if you did. And that rounds out our Wednesday. We got Thursday the 28th. So we start out at 4:30 with the DDD, CQRS, and ES Practitioners meetup. This is all over at Decentral, which is 436 West Pender Street, Black Door beside Banktown, from 4:30 to 7 p.m. So if you're interested in domain-driven development or domain-driven design, command query responsibility segregation, or event sourcing, make sure to check that out. If it's something you regularly do and you kind of want to go, I think of it kind of like a kung fu class, but for development methodology, where you actually go and you get to go through like the katas and or get to train and practice with other people with some cool coaches as well. I think it's a really worthwhile meetup to go to, and you should make sure to check it out at least once to see if it's for you. And make sure to be on time. Don't say like, I got to work from, you know, I can't go there till 5:30 or 6, because you'll really be missing out on something that I believe is more valuable than maybe the last half hour or hour of doing something at work, because it's probably going to be work-related and something you can bring back to your daily job. All right, then we have VanQ, which is over at Trinimbus, 1401 West 8th Avenue from 6 p.m. So VanQ usually has some really well-organized meetups. I wouldn't worry about bringing a laptop to this, as it'll probably be some presentations. There might be some snacks as well, but it does say the lobby door locks at 5:45 p.m., but there will be somebody there to greet you and let you in, so don't worry too much about that. And the topic is TestNG, Benefits for Selenium Test Automation. Then we have from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., we have Learn Data Science, which is at Bench, that's 717 West Pender Street on the fourth floor. And this should be a lot of fun as well. So 6 to 8, this is, it looks like it's competitions. So identify whales. Oh, that sounds pretty cool as well. So if you're interested in learning some data science, it looks like it's going to be pretty hands-on, so I would bring a laptop to that. And then at 6 p.m. on Thursday, Startup Drinks. So this is 131 Water Kitchen and Bar. I've only gone out to this once, had a really good time, and I went a little bit late. I think I got there around 9, and there were only two people left when I got there, but then I think another two waves of about 5 or 6 people came each time. It's kind of one of those meetups where there are more people throughout the night and they kind of come and go in waves. There's a lot of interesting people in the Vancouver tech scene to talk to. So if you're interested in just kind of having some casual conversation over some drinks, mostly in the tech startup scene, this would be a pretty interesting meetup to go to. Startup Drinks, 131 Water Kitchen and Bar, which is on 131 Water Street. And then we have this Vancouver Pixel Crafters over at Stat Search Analytics, 704 Alexander, from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. This is all about talking tech, data pipelines, and distributed systems. It says it's a ticketed event, and there is a link that you have to follow to register with. And it looks like there's going to be some people speaking. It looks like we've got Michael Greenwell and Xavier Perez, Stat Search. Stat Search Analytics, and they're giving a walkthrough of data pipeline design challenges and solutions learned from the competitive landscape feature rollout. And then we've got Spiro Sederes and Boris Lau from Mobify, and they're talking about how Mobify builds a resilient data pipeline. So this is from 6:30 to 9, and 6:30 to 7 is doors and pizza. Then from 7 to 8, there's talks and QA. And then from 8 to 9, it's just networking. So it sounds like a really fun networking meetup, talking about data pipelines and distributed systems. It also looks like it is sold out. So if you're interested in going to that, maybe hit up the organizers and see if you can get some extra tickets. But otherwise, if you've got some, have fun there. It looks like it's going to be a great one. And that's Thursday for us. So no week of meetups would be complete without mentioning Friday the 29th. There is, maybe it's a little bit of an oddball for us, but I don't know. This is the Vancouver Pokemon Meetup. This is happening at Nordstrom, 799 Robson Street. You know where Nordstrom is. And this is from 8:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. And it sounds like there's just going to be a bunch of people getting together. It looks like there's already 30 people going, so you got to join an RSVP. And they're just going to kind of walk around finding Pokemon and meeting people, chat, and get to know each other. Hopefully some people will have some lures and drop some. And it should be a fun time if you're into Pokemon. And that rounds out our meetups around town. All right, and we're here with our special guest today, Matias Marquez of Biotab. And you're the COO.
I am.
What's so cool about a COO?
Yeah. Oh, you stole my punchline there. Drew had called it a coup. Matias Marquez here. I'm the COO and founder of Biotab. We help, Biotab helps brands sell gift cards online.
Biotab helps brands sell gift cards online.
So we help brands sell their gift cards on their web and online properties. So if you went to like the Cineplex website today, or if you went to the Tim Hortons website and you clicked to buy a gift card, it's our application that's helping these brands sell their gift cards on their websites.
Oh, that sounds pretty awesome. Yeah. So what's the benefit for me? Let's say I'm a company and I really want to have some gift cards. I want to give them to some people. What's the benefit for me for using Biotab, and how does that work?
Perfect. So if Drew was a merchant, you'd want to sell lots of gift cards.
Right.
Right. And you could do that in a variety of different ways. One way would be to sell them through your stores, right? Because people come to your stores and they want to buy your gift cards at your stores.
Yeah.
You also want to sell your gift cards through third-party networks like Safeway and 7-Eleven and Shoppers Drug Mart, et cetera. And what you'll also want to do is sell them online. Right. And this is where we come in and we help brands sell their gift cards through their websites, through their Facebook pages, and through different online channels. And so partnering with Biotab allows you to capitalize on a significant part of where you could be selling gift cards.
What sort of part?
The online piece, right? So a lot of people do go to the Tim Hortons website or the Keg's website or the Whole Foods website to buy their gift cards. And it's important for the brands to enable that for their customers.
Okay, that sounds pretty interesting. So I've seen things like car salespeople, for example, maybe they get like Half Price Cactus Club or Earl's gift cards, and they'll give them to their customers, things like that. But what's the what's special about the online component?
Yeah, and that's an interesting piece that you bring up as well. So there's many different components when you're selling gift cards, right? So when you sell them online, an important piece is gifting. So it's my cousin's birthday in Toronto, and I want to give him a gift card. I'll go to the Boston Pizza website, and I'll send him that gift card so he can get it. When it comes to large companies or car dealerships or loyalty companies buying gift cards, they also benefit from providing gift cards to their users for different reasons. And we also help the brands establish those channels as well. So that car dealership, an easy way for them to do that, and they very well likely are buying that card from us, and then we're helping them distribute the card to their end user.
So does Biotab have some sort of an infrastructure where we can plug into Facebook or Twitter or Slack and say, I want to gift a friend with a Starbucks gift card or a Bay gift card or things like that?
Yeah, so that's like the API side of our business, and we provide APIs and tools for buyers to plug in and distribute their cards through different ways. We are connected with Facebook today. Slack and other newer channels are exciting and pieces to come in the future for sure.
So this is pretty interesting. So gift cards is maybe not something that if I was like, hey, I want to start something new and awesome, I'm going to get into gift cards. But it does sound like it is pretty cool, and there are some pretty cool things you can do with it. What made you decide to get into gift cards?
You know, that's a great question. I get it all the time, right? Yeah. You know, what made you think that, hey, gift cards, right? And then even a specific component of gift cards. I founded Biotab when I was at SFU, a university student. And when I was going to school there, I could see that a lot of people were just obsessed with their mobile phones. And it was just the clear path everything was going, right? It was going mobile. And gift cards, just knowing about them and knowing how they worked, there was something there, right? I knew that gift cards were going to be more and more integrated with mobile. And that's what we do, right? We help brands capitalize from the mobile usage and online usage in allowing them to sell their gift cards through those pieces. So to answer your question, it felt like a really good opportunity. And it, you know, it was something that we were excited about.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty interesting. So how long has Biotab been around?
We've been around for about 7 years.
7 years already? Yeah. Wow. How did you get started?
I started when I was in university. We bootstrapped from the very beginning and then ran into success, and that came with future stages of the company. Today, we're, say, mid-40s kind of employee count. We work with brands really all over the world. We work with brands in Canada, in the U.S., and now we're starting to break into other markets as well.
So that was actually going to be my next question was, you see a lot of companies, a lot of local companies, they start out and they're like, oh yeah, we really want to take over Vancouver or, you know, Canada. It's this great market. But there's this whole global market out there, and especially when you're talking about tech, sort of anything, it often is quite applicable, although, you know, cultural tweaking and things like that to fit certain markets are there. But I was thinking right away when I thought about gift cards, things like, I spent a fair bit of time in Asia, so you have Line or you have Kakao Talk. I don't know if you heard of that. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, being able to gift somebody those things like Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, that was a reality. And yet here, it seems like that's a really hard thing to do. And I don't know why. So what sort of technologies are you dealing with here and B, what sort of strategies you're putting in place to go global?
Yeah, and maybe I could ask you some questions with your experience in Asia. But gift cards are still very much a North America thing, mm-hmm. right? North America is the majority of where gift cards are sold. Mm-hmm. Globally, that's changing, and I think that'll continue to change. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Canada is definitely different than the U.S. A lot of our revenue is out in the U.S. So for us, being Canadian, we're super proud, and mm-hmm. it's important to us. But in terms of our strategy and, you know, kind of how we operate, our platform is very, you know, usable in many different applications. So the U.S. is important to us. Canada is. And then now we're doing more international stuff. Did you see much gift card usage when you spent time in Korea? Like, was that a normal thing of someone giving someone a gift card for their birthday and things like that?
No, not really. So Korea was a little bit different in that I think the highest denomination for cash currency was about $10.
Really?
And so they'd use, for higher denominations, they'd use like a money order. So that was really common. You'd give people like hundreds of dollars in money orders or thousands of dollars.
So if I was buying something from a store.
Yeah, or a cashier's check, I guess it would be.
So if I was buying like an iPad,
yep.
I'd show up with money orders?
Oh, so you could either, yeah, you could use that quite often. If you did use a money order in Korea, you'd often have to sign it, maybe write your ID number on the back of it, or you'd use a credit card.
Yeah.
But I don't know. In my from what I remember, I didn't see a lot of gift cards.
Yeah. So hopefully we can help change that.
But on the other hand, something that I did see was, like, you know how here with the Starbucks app, you can load your card, but it's actually an app, and you can use that to kind of scan in. Well, the same thing there. You'd get a code, so you could go to like Dunkin' Donuts, or you know, your friend could give you something through KakaoTalk, which it was, and you could go and get donuts or coffee or whatever.
So we see the world the same way, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the way we work with Tim Hortons, you can go online today, you can buy, you know, your sister a Tim Hortons gift card. Mm-hmm. She'll get it. She can upload it to the app. Mm-hmm. She can use the app, scan it at the location.
So that's a lot more convenient because you're just bringing your phone. Exactly. And you don't have to worry about like filling your wallet with cards or whatever. You said you're in the mid-40s as far as people at Biotab. That's quite a bit. How big is the development team?
The development team is definitely a larger part of our organization. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we are a technology company. Mm-hmm. We have a great tech team. We have a great CTO
and a great COO.
Yeah. We also have a great CBO, which is our chief barking officer.
Uh-huh. Barking?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, we're very pet friendly.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the dev team and about the dev stack? So I guess obviously with a company that does online payments, things like that, then security's got to be important. But also you're going to have, I guess, mobile. Yeah. So probably Android and iOS.
Great question. So we're very, since the beginning, we've been very .NET friendly. So mm-hmm. .NET stack, Visual Studio guys, mm-hmm. SQL Server guys, stuff like that. We like web services. We've been very web service friendly since the beginning. Mm-hmm. Security and compliance is big for us. So that's why you'll see us use larger names in terms of application stuff.
Yeah, it definitely seems like there's some benefits security-wise, I guess, even just coming up with the paperwork when you need it with using something like .NET or using a lot of the things provided in Microsoft's universe.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any sort of drawbacks to that at all? Or like, you know, maybe finding developers who really want to work on .NET? Or
I would say...
It's like, still pretty prevalent.
Yeah, right? It is very prevalent, but you know, we want great people. Mm-hmm. And in terms of compliance, in terms of structure and foundation, is definitely there. We get a lot of compliance and security benefits, but we offset that with, you know, other things we do. We're doing some really cool stuff with Amazon, mm-hmm. And even like a company trying Nimbus out here as well. Mm-hmm. So we understand who we are. We understand that we process a lot of money, so we have to use systems and processes in place that are appropriate, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean we can't innovate, right? So it's balancing the two.
So it sounds like, I guess, the backend stack is mostly .NET. But what about on the front end? Are you using, do you have web applications as well as mobile device applications?
Yeah, so we on the front end, we try and separate the front end from the back end as much as possible.
Right.
And the front end guys have a lot of freedom to use some really great tools. Mm-hmm. We're big into like CSS3, Canvas, HTML5, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. We really focus on the user experience.
Yep.
So a lot of the tools we're focused on using are around making the user experience more friendly and easier for the end user.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So what about, what about growth? How do you handle growth? Are you growing?
That's our biggest thing. We've been growing for many years now at a crazy rate.
Right.
I think our 5-year IRR is like over 330%. Mm-hmm. So we've been growing at a very fast pace, and managing that growth is fun, but you know, comes with, you know, work and everything else.
Right.
So hiring developers is something that I think everyone in Vancouver, you know, talks about. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we are always working on.
What's a strategy that you incorporate for that? I know different people have different ones, and we've got companies like Amazon, like Microsoft, yeah, who have stated they're out to hire, you know, 500 or 350 developers this year each. And then we've got other companies, everyone's saying we want developers. How do you handle the, on the one hand, I guess the difficulty of finding a developer and enticing developers to come and work for you with, on the other hand, curating that for a good quality and a good fit? Is cultural fit still a very important thing when you start hitting mid-40s?
Yeah, no, for sure. So hiring developers is something that a lot of people in Vancouver talk about, because mm-hmm. it's a real thing, right? With Amazon and Microsoft and these guys doing what they're doing. Now, we know who we are, right? Mm-hmm. So I think knowing who you are is important. We know the level of, you know, fun and the atmosphere we can create versus a large organization like those. Mm-hmm. So we may ensure that, you know, that we're encouraging people to have fun and to feel good when they're in the office. I think cultures to that regard is super important. But another thing, which is arguably one of the most important, is the opportunity people get, mm-hmm. right? You know, we have people come in from not just developers, but different parts of the organization, mm-hmm. where we give them such opportunity to grow, and the ones that take advantage of it, it really changes their kind of the trajectory as a career, right? Where I'm sure if you worked at an Amazon, you're going to be in somewhat of a box a little bit. So by us being able to provide that level of opportunity, I think a lot of people, you know, love it.
As far as handling growth and your strategy for hiring, are you currently hiring?
Yeah, we're always hiring developers. I think when you're a growing tech company in Vancouver, I think you're always hiring developers. We have a team that does HR now and focuses on the hiring piece. But the biggest thing when it comes to hiring is the culture fit, right? Yeah. We're big into our core values. We're big into our mission statement. And our core values are the first thing that we look at when we hire someone.
Mm-hmm. So what are those core values?
So digital gift cards can also be called electronic gift cards. Mm-hmm. And that acronym is EGC. So our core values are EGC as well. The first one's entrepreneurial. So mm-hmm. when we bring someone on, it's important that they have an entrepreneurial way of thinking in terms of solving challenges and being autonomous in how they operate. Mm-hmm. The G is genuine. We want people that we can get along with and trust and everything else. So genuine is very important to us. And the C stands for creative. Mm-hmm. We want people thinking outside the box and people to be very creative. So when we are looking at bringing people on, we ensure that, you know, interview one is, do they match up to our culture? Do they have our core values? Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's the other questions, right?
How big does a company have to get before you get an HR department?
I would say mid-40s, right? but you know what? HR is super important, right? Mm-hmm. I know some stories where HR comes in from the very beginning, and it makes sense to do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, growing a company from, you know, one person to 5 to 10 to 20 to 30 and so on, the challenges are different. Are different at every different step. Mm-hmm. And people is your most important thing.
Right.
So you want to make sure that that doesn't get away from you, right? And at some point, I'm sure you guys, you're probably talking about it now, but I don't think you could ever be too early in bringing on HR, because that's taking care of your people, right?
Yeah, I think we've, like, our CEO's kind of joked in almost a negative way about it, that maybe we don't want HR. When HR it comes, then the fun's over. but we've managed, I think, to be fine without a sort of formal HR. But we have a really, I guess everybody thinks this about the place that they work. We have a very special culture where we're at, where everybody somehow gets along with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
We all have pretty unique ideas and perspectives on different things, and we sometimes have very differing opinions. But at the end of a meeting, we'll always come out of it where everyone's on the same page and kind of makes decisions that either we're fully in agreement that we should be using this technology, yeah, or we reluctantly agree that this is the right decision right now, even though it might be cooler to use, yeah, maybe a different, like for example, using .NET, that might be a really good, solid choice for doing something, but it might not be as fun as using something new like Rust, which, yeah, isn't as mature and doesn't, yeah, have that sort of history baked in. And so it might be really fun to work on, but is it a practical choice? So yeah, those kind of things.
And it goes back to who are you? Who's your market, right? If you're, yeah, an app or a game, you can get away with using some more newer technologies. But if you're, yeah, going to be processing money and security, then you need to make sure that you're using the appropriate stuff.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I think it's not just for your peace of mind, but also it looks, I mean, investors are really going to be interested in that if you have any sort of compliance issues and things like that. So going into different countries, that might also become another issue. What are some, going to the maybe the customer side for Biotap, what are some unique sort of uses of gift cards that you've seen, or like a way to use e-cards or e-gift cards as something unique that maybe you haven't thought of before?
So we get a lot of response through social media channels vis-a-vis our customer support. We pride ourselves on customer support. We think that's a huge element in the experience. So a lot of people write in and talk about their experiences, which is fun. A lady had written in about her Tim Hortons gift card, which was a really great story. So she writes in and she says, hey, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she writes, hey, I wanted to thank you guys because I was at work and her kid had finished like some event with his friends, and they all went to Tim Hortons. And now the kid didn't bring a wallet or any money, and the other kids just had brought in enough for themselves. So he had texted his mom saying, mom, like, I'm not going to be able to eat with these guys, and he was upset. So the mom went online. She Googled digital Tim Hortons gift card. Took her to the Tim Hortons website. She went online. She bought him a gift card. He got it on his phone within seconds. And then he got it before his friends had ordered. And then he used his phone to show the gift card and scan it. And he was able to eat with his friends. And the moral of her story was, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, this wouldn't have happened.
Right? And Google.
Yeah. But he would have sat there while his friends were eating, and he would have sat there all you know, glummed out.
No, that's really awesome. That's a really good, I guess, like a heartwarming story, right? I could see a commercial for that, actually. That would make a really good Tim Hortons commercial.
There you go.
You're out in the cold.
Sidney Crosby.
That's really cool. What about some off-the-wall uses? Because that still sounds like a typical use, although a really good sort of like last minute kind of save the day use. But what about like an out there, like, I wouldn't imagine this kind of company using gift cards for that or things
like that. So digital gift cards are great because they appeal to people that like their phones and they're more mobile friendly. They're also great because they're instant, right? So, you know, during holiday, if you forgot someone for Christmas, for example, being able to send them that card right away is a great use. Loyalty companies and large reward companies find a lot of great uses in digital gift cards as well. So if Drew, I don't know what you use for your credit card rewards or whatnot, but if you're logged into your points program and you have points.
Aeroplan.
Yeah, there you go. And say you're redeeming your points, you're going to redeem for travel and other things. But something that's interesting and you'll definitely redeem for is gift cards. Now, if Drew's redeeming for gift cards, what would you rather do? Would you rather wait the 6 weeks it takes for it to come in the mail? Or would you rather have it as soon as you redeem? Right,
so the 6 weeks later, if I get double,
but if you got the same amount, and you had to wait, 6 weeks or whatnot to get that physical card, you're going to choose, and the data shows us this, that you're going to choose digital, because guess what, you click on it, it's in your inbox, and you can use it that day, which is a very good customer experience.
It just really reminded me of the kids eating the marshmallow. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
So I think they did an experiment. It's been pretty popular on TV shows and things like that as well. But they give a kid a marshmallow in a room, and they walk away, and they say, "Don't eat the marshmallow now, and when I come back, I'll give you a second marshmallow." So that would be pretty cool if gift cards, if you actually got double the rewards, or you got the amount of rewards that you could get if you wait 6 weeks for it to come in the mail, or you get half right now.
And you know what? I bet you most people will take the half right now.
That's what I mean.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Digital enables you to play the marshmallow game.
Okay, that sounds pretty awesome. So, Matthias, tell us a little bit more about what sort of positions might be being hired for at Biotap, and where are you located?
So we're located right downtown Vancouver.
Sweet.
We pride ourselves in being based in Vancouver. I don't think there's enough companies that wave the Vancouver flag. We're right downtown Vancouver. We're always looking for developers. We're always looking for like-minded people. At the end of the day, I don't care what your skills are. If you come in and you think the way we do and you want to change the status quo, there's likely a position for you. Nice.
So what's a good way to get a hold of you or to reach out to Biotap?
Listen to this podcast. Social media channels are great. Email's great. Check us out on our website, biotap.com. We've always been very vibrant in the gift card community. And we have an initiative, now to be more vibrant in the local community.
Are you planning on having a presence at HackerNest Vancouver tomorrow? On Monday, sorry?
We should definitely look into that.
Nice. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Matias Marquez of Biotab, thank you very much for being on the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Check out our website, vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Much appreciated.
You can follow us on Twitter, VanTechPodcast.
Feel free to leave some comments below.
You can also hit us up on the YVR Dev, the Vancouver Tech, the VanTech Slacks. I'm at James.
And I'm at Drew. Special thanks to Same Room for hooking us up with an integration that allows us to have a cross-team Slack channel, VanDevs.
Do you have a meetup that you want us to plug? Email us, show@vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Music by A Shell in the Pit from the game Parkitect. See you at one of the meetups
around town.